Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehr on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, last week said that his organization, his league, was, quote, at the finish line in his negotiations with New York City to build an MLS facility in Queens in Flushing Meadows Park. The proposed facility would seat 20 to 25,000. It would be the second soccer stadium in the New York region. It would be entirely financed by the MLS. MLS says that it will, and it will have to, repair and replace the acres of park that any such facility would consume as part of its construction. Community groups have just been told about this, and there's the opposition that you'd expect. And in later days, I'm sure the Brian Lehr Show will be hearing from them. But now we wanted to talk to one of the driving forces behind this stadium. Brett Lashbrook is an assistant to the commissioner, one of the people who is spearheading this effort. Hello, Brett. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us on today.
So give us some of the details about where exactly in the park this stadium would be, what sort of construction and roads and any sort of other infrastructure changes this stadium would necessitate.
Sure. So after many months of evaluating many sites across New York City, looking at many different things, the most important thing is trying to find a site where the community embraces soccer, and soccer is part of the lifeblood of the community. Looking at Flushing Meadows Corner Park quickly became a key place for us to look, and as we dug further and further into it, we realized it really is the perfect spot for soccer. There's a couple different reasons for that. One, the diversity of Queens and the amount of soccer that's played in the park currently is just tremendous. Those of you familiar with the park know that it's not an exaggeration to say that soccer is played there 24/7. The other things that I would say that are important for any type of stadium like this is wanting to make sure that we're in the urban core with great public transportation opportunities, as well as sufficient parking. And when you put all that together within New York City, we really think we found the absolute perfect spot there at Flushing Meadows Corona Park.
And it has all that because that's where Citi Field is, where Shea Stadium used to be. That's where the U.S. Tennis Center is. So you wouldn't have to even build a new subway stop.
Correct. No, right there with the Long Island Railroad and the New York City 7 train stop.
And for those of us who aren't, I shouldn't say those of us, but those in our audience who aren't familiar with the MLS schedule, how many games a year do you guys play?
Play approximately 20 games the year. Season starts in March. It runs through the beginning of December as our championship game. We just had it last weekend out in Los Angeles with the Los Angeles Galaxy.
So that means winning. Right, and so that means it would not conflict with any baseball games going on at Citi Field or the tennis.
We've committed to not play anything, any matches or any events at the stadium during the U.S. Open, and are currently in discussions with the Mets. And we would schedule around the Mets. So again, from a parking and transportation perspective, we feel that already has everything in place, and we'd be able to schedule around everything that's currently going on.
Right, and they also stadiums don't just host the home teams; they have friendlies where international teams come and play. So, and some stadiums around the MLS have concerts. How many dates a year would you expect this stadium to be open for business?
Approximately 40, and that would include Major League Soccer games. That would include, like you mentioned, international friendlies. And again, when you talk about the interest, not just soccer across the city, but especially in the Queens community, we think that there is a great market for international friendlies. That's international national teams, international club teams. We've had hosted several international matches out in the city and in Queens in recent years, and had tremendous response from the community. And you look at the diversity of Queens to bring teams from South America and Europe, we think would just be not only a great asset for the community, but would be a tremendous success. In addition, you could host other events, everything from concerts down to community events, local high school graduations, local soccer championships, et cetera, et cetera. So we think that this would be a tremendous community asset.
Well, the New York area already has an MLS team. They're the Red Bulls. They play in Harrison, New York, in a $200 million facility that opened only a few years ago. How is that experiment in New York area soccer going?
we think it's going great. You know, anyone who's been out to Red Bull Arena knows it's one of, if not the top soccer-specific facility in North America. It's been tremendous. You know, that team is averaging almost 20,000 fans a game. But we believe, like all great cities in the world, especially in international soccer where you have multiple teams in the same market, we think a second team in the New York area and one in Queens would actually benefit and help the league and would create a rivalry for the Red Bulls. So, you know, I always use this as an example. When you look at London, they've got over five teams in the Premier League in London, Mexico City, Buenos Aires, all these major cities around the world have multiple teams, and it's no different than the other American professional sports teams, especially in New York, that have multiple teams in the same league. So we actually think this will be a benefit for everyone.
Right. Well, the Red Bulls are in Harrison, New Jersey. I think I misspoke. I said Harrison, New York. But it doesn't seem exactly like an apt comparison. First of all, you know, England had a couple hundred years head start in terms of the popularity of soccer. If you want to mention Buenos Aires, you know, the urban area, conurbation is what they call it, of Buenos Aires, 13 million people out of an entire Argentina population of 40 million. I mean, there's just so many more people in the city of Buenos Aires than comparatively are in New York, which has about 30 million people. And it's just that soccer, I would say, while popular and growing in popularity, is not anywhere nearly as popular in the U.S. as it is in those places.
I would respectfully say that it is soaring in popularity here.
It is soaring.
And I'll cite a recent ESPN sports poll that had professional soccer listed as the second most popular sport among ages 12 to 25, and that when you look at this, the younger demographic, that, you know, it's not just certain ethnicities that are drawn to the game. It's becoming more and more that everyone in that age bracket, and the sport is continuing to grow, and we've seen that in the growth of the league over the last 17 years. And then when you put on international soccer, I think it's a misnomer to think that there is not a huge appetite for soccer in this community. And I use this as an example. I live here in the city, and I have on my cable TV package, there's not one, there's not two, but there's three channels that almost show international soccer 24/7. So I would really say that I believe the soaring popularity absolutely makes the case that we could have two teams here.
That's true, but there's C-SPAN 1, 2, and 3 also. I don't know how popular the Senate Subcommittee on Appropriations is. But let me just say this. Major League Soccer is the third most attended sport in the United States. The NFL has an average of 67,000 people going to its games. Baseball, 30,000. And next comes the MLS. It's averaging 18,000, almost 19,000 a game. It's been going up all the time. That, on a national level, argues, I will not dispute it, soccer is becoming more popular. But I want to talk about this region. The Red Bulls have been near your average. They've been drawing, or last year they drew 18,200. And so that's a positive way to look at it. But the negative way to look at what the Red Bulls are doing in Harrison, New Jersey, is they've only been at 73% of attendance. And that, in terms of percentage of attendance, is sixth from the bottom. And as I crunch the numbers a little bit more, if you want to look at the number of empty seats, the Red Bulls over there in New Jersey lead the league with about 7,000 empty seats a game. So when you take that into account, why does that lead you to believe that this particular region has this unmet yearning for soccer?
You know, the soaring popularity of the sport, you know, we just set another attendance record for the league. The interest of soccer, especially in Queens, and again, all your listeners are familiar with how vast the New York City metro area is. We believe placing a team in Queens will only help raise the level for everyone in the city.
There are 19 teams in the league. Would this team be the 20th team? I don't know when the stadium will get built, but do you expect to add teams in between?
No, our stated goal is for this to be our 20th team, absolutely.
And who will the team be? You'll put it up for bid, right?
That's correct. So the similar to what Major League Baseball did with the Washington Nationals when the Montreal Expos moved, the league is taking the lead in the land use approval process, and then the league will transfer all our legal requirements regarding the stadium, regarding community givebacks, regarding replacement parkland, et cetera, all of that will be legally encumbered and transferred upon the new team owner.
Okay. A lot of people they remember the Cosmos. The Cosmos are sort of alive. They're not really a team. They're a brand. I know you haven't made any deal with the Cosmos, and we'll note that. But for people who are listening saying, could they bring back the Cosmos? What are the Cosmos now?
The Cosmos are they're launching a second division team out in Long Island next year, and that's the second division, one of the minor leagues here in the United States. You know, Major League Soccer, you know, is supportive of the Cosmos and the NASL, the league that they're playing in, and believe that a strong second division just demonstrates, again, the growing interest of the sport, not just here locally, but across the country.
And who are the types of owners that have proved to be successful? What are the traits of the kind of owner you're looking for, other than rich guy?
Well, I think you can look at our other 19 owners, and you can see the high quality of individuals. And it's not just financial net worth, as you alluded to there, but it's making sure that they have the long-term vision and commitment to this league. And that's really one of the great strengths of our league, is that we all see that this is still a growing property, and why we all believe we've had tremendous growth in recent years. We believe the upside still is more than any other sport out there. So really making sure we find an ownership group that shares the rest of the owner's commitment to the long-term vision of this league and this sport in this country.
The teams that you've had, there have been some that folded. There are successful teams. What are the traits of successful teams that you're taking advantage of in building that stadium in Queens? Have you learned anything about building it in an exurb or a suburb versus a city center? Have you learned much about size of the stadium? I presume you have. Have you learned about financing? What are kind of the best practices that are going into your plan in the Queens Stadium?
You know, especially here in the New York market, we knew from the very beginning as we were looking for sites that we had to be in the urban core. When you look at our fan demographics, especially here in the city, we needed to be in the urban core. We needed to be near public transportation. And that's, again, why we feel – and we needed to be in a place where the sport has demonstrated a strong interest in the community. And, again, that's why we think we found the perfect site in Flushing Meadow Corona Park.
And you have mentioned how much soccer is played in the park. Do the people – will the people who play that soccer, some of them, you know, first-generation immigrants, are those going to be – has history shown that those are the kind of people who actually buy the tickets and attend MLS games?
Yeah, we've had tremendous success with especially with that community as the sport continues to grow, and we've had tremendous support and outreach of support in the Corona and Flushing community, especially with the soccer leagues. Again, those of your listeners that are familiar with Flushing Meadow Corona Park know there's multiple leagues that are playing out there, and we think that those will be the core of our fan base.
All right, what are the next steps in terms of getting this approved?
You know, you alluded before about the comment from last week. I think if you look at the full quote, when we're talking about the finish line, the full quote talked about how there are many steps to this process.
You know what? I'll read the full quote for you.
Sure.
There's a lot of work that needs to happen to finalize our agreement with New York City over our use of land and our ability to lease that land and build a stadium. I do believe that we will resolve that shortly. I can't put any timetable on it, but we're at the finish line. Once we get there, we've got to go into a formal approval process that all developers have to go through New York City. It will take some time. That's Don Garber talking. So what time? How much time?
Yeah, so I think that comment really talked about how, you know, we are at the beginning of the process. We are currently in active discussions with the city to try and secure an initial agreement for the site. You know, just like the comment, the quote alluded to, that any type of development in the city has to go through a regulated environmental impact statement review, as well as Uniform Land Use Review process, and that is a very formal process that goes through city council and goes for city council. Council approval. We would have to go through that. That would involve a tremendous amount of community input and community involvement. You know, one of the things that we have done here is we've tried to be as transparent as possible and start that process of community engagement early. So I would say those are the steps that we're going through right now. We're still early in the process.
And the very last thing you have to promise me, there was a soccer team named the San Diego Soccers, that the name of a Queens team should have come to that won't be quite so lame.
We'll do our best. You know, the other thing that I would want to add, and we didn't touch upon this, but is the amount of economic development that this project is going to bring to Queens. You know, this is going to be the first privately financed professional sports stadium in New York City, and I think that's a very important thing to emphasize. It's something that we don't take lightly. That this is going to be over $300 million of private investment into Queens. That's going to create jobs. That's going to create economic growth. And we think that we really want to be a long-term partner in Queens. And we think that this is the beginning of something for decades and decades that will be a win-win for the community.
All right, Brett, in about 20 minutes, I'm going to go on Twitter and start hashtagging some of my ideas for team names. And I'm going to call the Brian Lehrer Show Facebook page and listeners to do that too. But, Brett, thank you very much.
Thank you. thank you for your time. And I would encourage everyone who wants more information to go to MLSToQueens.com.
Brett Lashbrook, Special Assistant to MLS, the Commissioner of the MLS. I hope you found that conversation exciting. If you didn't, we're going to explain why as we delve into theories and studies of boredom. Stay with us.